Island Community Church Facebook page, or you can download our app, Island Community Church FL, because there's more than one. And that feed will kick on right at 6 o'clock. So we'd love to see you tomorrow. Here now, part one of this message, Pure and Undefiled Religion.
So at a loss for a title for this sermon. We're kicking off chapter 2 here this morning in James. So far, it's been a pretty good study, hasn't it? This letter sounds like the Proverbs in the Old Testament, with many warnings about being careful for how we live. In chapter 1, James encouraged us to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith develops endurance. And I'm done with that develops line on that. And God's done. Let's move on to a new understanding of that phrase now. Instead of develops, let's go back to produces. Let's call this knowing that testing of your faith produces the ability to stomp on the devil. That's a good understanding, and it's true. Count it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces the ability to stomp the devil in your life. James instructed us that God is the giver of wisdom, at least to all those who ask for it. God gives to all liberally and without reproach. That is, God is no respecter of persons. And no, it doesn't say God is a liberal. It says he gives liberally. Actually, he's probably the greatest liberal who ever was. Right? He gives freely. He gave his son freely. Who's a greater liberal than God? Right? It's men that's corrupted it. And about enduring trials and temptations. Blessed is the man that endures trials. For when he is tried, that word for try is what they do with silver. They would put it in this cauldron and they would burn it. And then when they did that, when they heated it up, all of the dross would rise to the top. And then they would scoop out all of the yak and throw that out. And what was left was pure silver. And that's what God does with us through trials. Satan might be the one who does it, but God still uses it. It doesn't matter who tries you. God approves of it, and God will do a good work through it. Doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it's the enemy or whether it's from God. It doesn't matter. We read at two or three different places in the Bible that some trials come from Satan and some come from God. Blessed is the man that endures them, we know. For when he has been tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Father has promised to those that love him. That's all you need to do. Love God and trust him. That's why it says in Psalm 34, come, let us magnify the Lord together. That's when you make God bigger than your problems. Also, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Because God cannot be tempted by evil. Neither will he tempt any man. He'll test you, but he won't tempt you. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Sounds like a pregnancy, doesn't it? Starts with lust, Like the Lord said, whoever lusts after another woman has committed adultery. Notice the chain reaction here. Lust, when it's conceived, it brings forth a little child in you named sin. And sin will run its course and ruin and attempt to destroy your life. You feed it and you feed it and it grows and grows. And before you know it, you're half the size of Miami, walking around like an Italian. Mamma mia, spinning a pizza. I can say that. All because you've nurtured a little devil on the inside of you named sin. Now watch this, what James says next. He says, then sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That is, when sin has had its way with you and has milked you dry of every last ounce of life in you, when sin is finished with you, it bringeth forth death. It'll discard you on the side of the road. That's what it does. Also in chapter 1, James reminds us where good gifts come from. And that we ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry about something. That was my sermon last week. Next to last, James tells us to be doers of what? The word. Doers of the word. And not just hearers, deceiving yourself. Because if you just listen to the word of God and agree with it, but then you don't act on what you hear by either me preaching it or by you reading it on your own, then according to James, you're deceiving yourself. That is, you're not doing yourself any good. You're wasting your time. If you hear me preach you the word of God and God tells you to do something like Darren said in Sunday school and you don't do it, then you're wasting your time. You've deceived yourself. You deceive yourself into thinking you're right with God when you're not. He's told you to do something and you haven't done it. Be doers of the word. But the Bible calls you blessed here in verse 25. If you do what it says, there's great blessings for you by doing what God says in his word. Incredible blessings. Why is this so difficult? I know it's not here in this church. Who wants to do the word of God in here? Listen to the promises, he says. But like I said, we do what the word says. Remember, do what the word says and you'll be blessed. Do what the word says and you will be blessed. Obey the Lord and obey his word and you will be blessed. Love what God loves. Hate what God hates and you'll be blessed. Be a doer of the word. Do what he says. Listen to this, Psalm 1:1. It says, blessed. Isn't that funny how the very first word in the book of Psalms is, and that's God's hymnal. We have our Baptist hymnal. This is God's hymnal. First word, first page, first word, first verse is the word blessed. Blessed is the man and the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That is, you don't listen to your crooked friends when they tell you to do something that's contrary to the word. Notice this person too. Notice he goes from walking to standing to parking his fanny over there. He stopped. He should have kept on walking through the valley of death, and he shouldn't have stopped. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, we're going to call the law of the Lord the word of God. God's law. And in his word, he meditates day and night. I'm not saying you have to become a monk. Just take the word with you. When you're eating lunch, read a psalm or a proverb or something. Download it on your phone. Have a devotional in your bathroom. Whatever it takes. Get the word God in you and you'll be blessed. Guarantee it. Meditate on the word. Some people have more time than others. When I first was saved and converted my adult video bookstore into a Christian bookstore, I had like 18 hours a day to read the word of God. That's how I turned into this freak that I am now. I'm addicted to the word. Something. It's like Moses up on the mountain, and I came down, and I just can't get enough. I own 400 or 500 Bibles. Most every cent I spend is on Bibles. I can't get enough. And you people have to pay the brunt of that. I hope that's, thank you. Thank you. Hope you guys are blessed by that. Because I know this. God is good. And God is for me. And I share that with you. And not only me, because the same guy James wrote that God's not a respecter of persons. Matter of fact, we're going to read that in a minute. And I don't even have that written down. He doesn't love me any more than he does you. And he's not willing or wanting or need to bless me more than he does you. Blessed is the man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither. And there's a promise you take to the bank. Psalm 1, verse 4. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. It's probably where that old Greek mythology comes from, right? Old King Midas, right? Everything that he touched turned to gold. Same thing with you, only this is real. Whatsoever, when you make the word of God your the focus of your life, when you do what God says in this book, when you don't do what God warns you about because he loves you, everything whatsoever you do shall prosper. Now, who wants that in their life? Praise God. The Midas touch on all doers of the word of God. All right, lastly in chapter 1, James uses a word that I can't recall is found anywhere in the Bible. And that word is religion. Religion's in the Bible. Man, oh man, that word religion, it's got such a bad reputation today. From supposed Christian slackers who want to eat, drink, and be merry and not be accountable to anyone for their lifestyle. And they call those people, oh, they're just religious. No, you just refuse to do what God says in his word. Do what God says. Don't call me religious. Well, we're going to read what James calls religious here in a minute. But they always trash religion. I hear it so many times. But not James. James commends true religion. Look at this. We're in chapter 1, verse 26. And we'll get this sermon started this morning. Hope no one's got any plans. And this was a short sermon. I had to get Darren to come up with a song at the end. It's so short. Thank you, God. Lord, we praise you. You're so good to me when I don't deserve it. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for these good people here. Thank you for filling this house with excellent souls. We exalt you. I exalt you. Continue to minister to us this morning through your word. Continue to fellowship with us and dwell with us here this morning. No better place to be than in your presence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anyone, this is chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not shut his yap. Isn't that funny how those two are linked together? What has being religious got to do with shutting your yap? If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue like Secretariat, we got to stick a gag in there. Pull back on those reins. Isn't that funny? He links being religious against having a, what does Ralph Crambin say? I've got a big mouth. So you guys don't remember the Honeymooners. If anyone among you thinks that he is religious, but does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart, this person's religion is useless. For pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, : notice here comes his list. There's always a list after a : pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble or distress, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. But since James brought tongues into this, you see, it's not what you say to someone, it's what you do to genuine people that need help. That's what he means by this. Bridling. It's not what you say and blowhard and how much you say about being a Christian. It's again, James is going to say next week, I will show you my faith by my works. I'll show you who I am, but what I do out here for Christ. Pure and undefiled religion is this, is helping people out here that don't have a loaf of bread. That's pure religion. It's not what you say to someone. It's what you do to genuine people out here that need help. You want to find true religion? Should have been here yesterday. You would have seen some of it. This church fed 67 people, including 12 children. That's pure religion. Some people aren't as blessed. They don't have a loaf of bread. Want to find true religion? Go on over here to First Baptist of Merritt Island tomorrow morning. You want to talk about pure religion? You go on over and see what happens there. Thousands of people come there. They take buses from the length of the county, from Grant to Titusville. They take buses to come here. Flat tires will be fixed on their bikes. They'll get a new bike. They'll get a shower. They get new clothes. They get food. That is pure and undefiled religion. Helping those. Helping those that don't have anything. Religion's not a dirty word. I encourage you to have pure and undefiled religion. All right, now here in chapter 2, James has a strong word for churches that treat visitors different according to their social status. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not have or hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring. Now the King James here says, in goodly apparel. And there cometh also a poor man in vile raiment. And you have respect to him that wears the nice clothing. And you say to him, sit over here in a good place. And say to the poor person, you stand over there or sit under my chair over here. Sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves? And have you not become judges of evil thoughts? Yikes. James says that if we're guilty of this, treating visitors different depending on how much money they apparently have, then we become judges with evil thoughts. Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those that love him. Boy, isn't that exactly the case too, isn't it? You guys that work and volunteer at the food pantry, haven't you seen some people down and out that have great faith that come through these doors? Amen. Don't you see it every week? Don't you see that they might be suffering on one end, but God has blessed them abundantly on the other? And he's saying you're better off to be poor and have great faith than to be rich and have none. Verse 9. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors. God bless you. Verse 10. For whosoever, that would mean you, and me, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble or offend at one point is guilty of all. Yikes again. Whoever keeps the whole law, whoever keeps all the words in here, whoever does everything that God says and makes one itty bitty teeny weeny slip up of a sin and one mistake, the Bible says you're guilty of the whole thing. Guilty, guilty, everyone guilty. Guilty is charged. This is the verse to show people that think that they're not bad people. Have you ever met someone? Well, I'm not a bad person. I help little old ladies across the street. I take my neighbor's garbage can out to the front on Wednesday night. I'm not a bad person. Maybe we ought to look at it ourselves. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. The problem with that type of rationalizing is that you're wrong, friend. If that's what you think about yourself, you're wrong. That's not the way God views you. Whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point, God this morning calls you guilty. You're guilty before the judge. And Paul says that the wages of sin is death. Jesus says, no one is good, no, not one. Uh-oh. Now I'm really in trouble. Paul said, if I sin, the wages, that is, you've earned it, you have it coming to you. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus says, no one is good, not one, but God is the only one that's good. So all the world stands guilty before a holy God. I'll tell you what, we're in hot water this Sunday morning. 11:26 on Sunday morning. June the 6th, June the 5th, I don't care what day it is, we're in trouble. What do you do? Now that I've convicted every living soul on planet Earth, let's offer the life preserver to every living soul as well. Because James here has put the hurt on everyone this morning. Everyone with ears to hear, he's hurt us this morning. But that's not the end of the story. The Bible says in John, 1 John 1:9, it makes this conditional promise. It says, if we confess our sins,
we believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
I lift you high and bow down low. How high can you be? How low can I go? I lift you high and bow down low. How high can you be? How low can I go? Oh Lord. I lift you high and bow down low. How high can you be? How low can I go? I lift you high and bow down low. How high can you be? How low can I go? You must increase, I must decrease, Lord. I'll bow down and you will be adored. I lift you high and bow down low. How high can you be? How low can I go? I lift you high and bow down low. How high can you be? How low can I go? You must increase, I must decrease, Lord. I'll bow down and you will be adored. You must increase, I must decrease, Lord. I'll bow down and you will be adored. Oh, Jesus, you will, Jesus, you will be adored. You must increase, I must decrease, Lord. Bow down and you will be adored. You must increase, I must decrease, Lord. I'll bow down and you will be adored. I'll bow down and you will be adored.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA.